Welcome to the Kid Craddock Podcast. It's a condensed version of the show. We've painstakingly smushed it together for your listening pleasure.
All right, Kid Nation, we got that password headed your way in about 10 minutes so you can play Beat the Bank Extreme! And then we'll have you call in within 10 minutes so that you can play. You got to remember that password, though. Jenna is reading dreams this morning, about an hour and 40 minutes away from that. You can text your dreams at 800-543-3548. We also have Anna's midweek update coming up in about 20. And a couple dudes from the movie Midway, which hits theaters this weekend, are going to be joining us in studio in about 45 minutes. Big Al, I know you're trying to get into cuffing season, talking about doing some contracts when it comes to love. First dates can be awkward. Might seem that going to a sporting event is an easy way to break the ice. And I know, Al, you like sports.
Yeah.
Apparently, according to this study, don't do it.
Oh, why not?
The tickets are often too pricey. Games can be too long, and stadiums tend to be noisy and not a good place to have a conversation. Plus, a lot of stress when it comes to getting to a game and parking and all that stuff. So a majority of both men and women in a new survey say no to choosing a sporting event for the first date. Just in case you were planning
just
on it.
Just in case I was planning on it. Okay.
I could see it, though, all that stress. But then again, it could show you what kind of person they're going to be.
I love it.
The stress. Oh, I would
I
love
think
it too.
Just depends. Yeah. Like, if they're both into sports, I love it.
Yeah.
It's better than a concert, and I love music. But you can at least talk at a sporting event.
Right.
You can't talk at a movie or a concert.
And it's good to see if they're into sports or not.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad day. Me, personally, if you can Uber there, that takes a little bit of the stress out of the parking that you're talking about. If you have a decent seat, and obviously you bought the ticket, so hopefully you can afford it.
Hopefully. Where are the seats?
All right.
Yeah, right. That's the thing. Hey, you want to go to the game? Where are the seats?
Yeah, what was it? 300?
Fair question.
You don't even have to ask. Just say, no, never mind.
Yeah. We're good. All right, well, from potential first love and early love to some relationships that have issues, it's time for Love Letters to Kelly. By the way, it's brought to you by Quip this morning.
How's that mouth?
You need a good mouth if you're going to be in a relationship because there's going to be some kissing involved, I think.
Probably.
And you need to be brushing them teeth, otherwise you're going to be stinky kissing. And you don't want to have that. Quip is an electric toothbrush. I love it. It's got sensitive sonic vibrations. Make sure that your gums stay healthy. Also, built-in two-minute timer. A lot of us are not brushing for long enough. You're not brushing 2 minutes, people. The Quip will make sure that you're brushing for 2 minutes. Plus, it pulses every 30 seconds to let you know when you're supposed to switch sides. Oh, and also, you can pay $5. For $5, they'll send you a new brush head automatically delivered to your house with a new battery for your Quip electric toothbrush and some toothpaste. That way, you save a trip to the store.
For just $5?
Just for $5, 3 months. Every 3 months, you get a nice little package from Quip to make it happen for you. And if you have kids in the house and they want to get in on this, too, they make kids' brushes as well. Now, you're thinking electric toothbrush, it's going to be pricey, isn't it? It's not. It's really affordable. Actually, they start at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/kid right now, you can get that first refill pack for free. That's your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/kid.
Love letters. Love letters to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
Al, check out Jordan's issue.
Okay.
Oh.
After this weekend, I am currently dating 6 women.
Whoa! Jordan.
I'm not trying to mislead any of them, and I'm upfront that we're not in an exclusive relationship. Okay. However, none of them know about one another. I'm just looking for love. I know y'all say this is dating, but I'm starting to feel like a blank. To be the gentleman, I thought I should just let them all go and keep searching for the right one. By the way, I'm 36, I'm new to town, and this is just a whole different ball game. And this is Jordan.
So Jordan's just, you know, just new kid in the candy store.
Yeah.
But I was juggling 5 at a time when I was doing online dating. Is that how he's meeting them?
Maybe.
And it's not that you have to be so incredibly forthcoming with each one. Hey, just letting you know, I'm playing the field here.
Uh-huh.
No, it's kind of like an understood thing until you take it next level. Now, if you're making promises to each one of them, like, baby, come on, baby, and trying to get with all of them.
Yeah, like it's a bachelor.
That's not cool. You need to say, you know, don't string someone along in that way, giving them the illusion that they are the only one. But I don't think it has to be on the table every discussion.
Yeah.
I mean, like right off the bat, hey, just so you know, I'm dating 5 other women besides you. No, it's just like you're getting to know people and then you let those relationships you weed them out.
Uh-huh. And obviously not one of them is standing out. So that lets you know, okay, these are girls that they're cool, but not for me.
But sometimes it's not the ones that stand out. If somebody's just really nice, you have a good time with them, can build into something.
Yeah.
So don't be quick to discard them. But
keep watering that grass.
I don't see any reason, unless you're acting like a hoe.
You are a champ for being able to do that. For me, like, I was so different. Like, I need to do a couple weeks with one, and then, you know what I mean? Because I would get so distracted.
Right.
Because you start going
exclusively. I would date one and done. You know, we'd meet for a lunch or a happy hour or whatever when I didn't have my daughter. And sometimes I just get a sitter. Some people are like, when I have my child, it's all about me and my child. Well, that's fine. But sometimes, you know, it doesn't work out. And you can get a babysitter. And you can show your child that I kind of have a life and I'm going to go do something.
Exactly.
For, you know, mommy now needs a little minute.
Yeah.
You know,
right,
you don't have to introduce her to every guy that comes in the house. But, you know.
This guy and his six ladies that are interested in him reminded me we have first world problems coming up tomorrow at this time on the show. All right.
Love letters. Love letters to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
I am 20 years old and I've been dating this guy for 6 months. He is amazing and the love of my life.
How old is she again?
20.
20.
He pulled me out of this really black hole that I was stuck in. And now that we're in a good place, we have to deal with a couple things, Kelly.
Uh-oh.
A 3-year-old he has with another woman, and she hates me. And recently, another girl that he hooked up with a week before we met is pregnant, and he thinks the baby is probably his. Now, he wants to raise this baby if it is his, but I don't know if I'm ready to do all that drama and pain all over again. Please help me.
You ain't ready for all that drama.
That's too much.
The same feelings he's giving you, pulling you out of that dark hole, he's doing it the same thing for those other girls. He's a player,
mm-hmm.
smooth talker, gets what he wants. You might find yourself like these other two women from his past.
With a baby and alone?
He's on to the next girl that right. he can save and rescue and be the knight in shining armor. You're young. I understand. He pulled you out of a dark place. You're filled with all these wonderful emotions, but you are signing up for a lifetime of drama and heartache if you stay with this guy. So this is when you have to put on your... I hate to use the term, your big girl panties, but you really do have to just make an intelligent decision and not an emotional decision to leave this one behind.
Yeah.
Because it does not get better.
And not only are you in this relationship with this guy, but you're also going to be involved with these two other women that apparently yeah. hate you for the rest of your life.
He is a smooth talker, and what he's saying to you, he's going to say to some other girl 6 months from now when you're at home, where is he? I'm pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And now what am I going to do?
Yeah, you're 20, babe. You are 20 years yeah. old. Enjoy some of that.
Yeah, live your life.
Yeah.
Live your life. Hey, let's get you that password, Kid Nation. We need to give you a password so that you can play Beat the Bank Extreme.
All right.
And then we'll get back to the letters. Don't worry.
And my update on the gropey.
Yes, we do need that update, Kelly, as well. But your password for this hour, Kid Nation, you'll need it here in about 10 minutes, is Netflix.
All right.
Netflix is your password. All right, and now back to it.
Love letters to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
I am in a conundrum. I am an incarcerated 30-year-old male, and I'm torn between three women. First, a little backstory. I was a single guy with no kids in June of 2014 when I became incarcerated. 3 years later, in 2017, I found out that I had a 3-year-old daughter unbeknownst to me from a one-night stand 1 month before I was incarcerated. We didn't know each other before that night, didn't speak afterwards. Now, fast forward to 2019, I'm engaged to a woman in Africa that I've been pen pals with for over 2 years. She's kind and caring, educated, independent, and she loves me even though she knows about my incarceration.
How much prison money have you sent her?
She's willing to stay by my side until I get out in 5 years or less.
But of course, you're giving her money in the meantime.
I don't know. Her father died in prison while being incarcerated, and he was innocent, such as I am. Also, I'm still in love with my high school sweetheart from 2007. We were not together the last few years before my incarceration, but the week before I was incarcerated, she agreed to give me another chance. But after becoming incarcerated, she told me she doesn't want to talk to me anymore. But I knew if I was out, she'd give me another chance because she knows I'm a good person.
But we get the point.
He didn't do it.
My dilemma is this.
Oh, now there's a dilemma.
Yeah.
I don't know whether to stay with the woman from Africa that I'm engaged to.
Yeah, stay with
try
her.
Try to mend things with my high school sweetheart
that I still love.
Or try to make something work with my daughter's mother.
No.
Things are even more difficult with the restrictions on communication because, I don't know if I mentioned it, I'm incarcerated.
Yeah, you are, and you didn't do it.
That's from Jacob.
All right, Jacob, keep sending money to that girl in Africa. That's your best hope. Focus all the energy there.
I just want to listen to that song, Africa.
you know, when you're in prison, you ain't got a lot going on. You got to occupy yourself with something.
It's a real problem for Jacob.
It is a real problem, Jacob. I'd put all my eggs in the Africa basket.
Save that.
How's Jacob incarcerated and got three women? My man Al is out here living his best life with zero women.
Zero women.
Of that money you're giving to the Africa woman, because I know you're sending her money and give it to the baby. Because you got to support your baby financially. But, yeah. Let. Oh, God.
Shout out.
It's a good song.
Good song. Yeah.
Take her. Just pick one.
She's willing to wait for 5 years.
Yes, she is.
So that's
as long as you keep sending them checks.
He's not sending money.
Don't they get money in prison for doing stuff?
A very small amount. Yeah, no, they're getting paid cents on the hour.
Put it on the books, you know, for them to go to the commissary.
No, it's something to occupy your time and giving you something to look forward to, like Christmas.
It's hope.
You know, it's something to do in prison. But don't be wasting a lot of people's time. Stick with that little fantasy girl in Africa. Keep working on that one. And let the other women, you know, go potentially have something that they could really build on.
Yeah.
Love letters to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
Yes.
My husband and I have been together for 15 years. We have 5 kids. It's always been rough. These past couple of months have been exceptionally difficult. All of his problems are my fault, mostly because I don't work. Mind you, we established that I was going to stay at home to avoid daycare when we had our first kid. 3 of them are in school, but we still have a 2-year-old and a newborn. I take care of everything. I take him back and forth to work. I make all the calls, pay the bills, do the shopping, cooking, cleaning, appointments, nighttime routines. I literally manage everything. He works, and then he comes home to do whatever he pleases. He drinks a lot. I've gotten jobs before and had to leave over a drunken episode. I feel defeated lately. It seems like a cycle. A couple months are good, and then a couple of months are misery. I don't want to find a good job and then have to leave again should something happen, and I'm tired of being blamed for all of his issues. What would you do? Help, Ashley.
Oh, my God, Ashley. You picked a bad one. You picked a bad one. Yeah. And now you want me to fix it. You know, how am I going to fix that? You married a bum who drinks too much, who rules the house with an iron fist.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And she takes
and what,
him to work.
What is my suggestion for you? To leave him with all those babies? And then what are you going to do? Y'all, you women need to start picking better.
Yeah, you women.
I'm serious.
You need better pickers.
And men too. But y'all need to start looking at the bigger picture and not just, well, I want to get married. I want to have my day. And look at the big picture of the character of some of these men you're picking. And you can't tell me that, I know there is that rare bird that, you know, everything was fine until we got married and then suddenly he became this monster.
That happens.
But there are signs of that what you were marrying. Isn't it cute the way he doesn't let me do anything or have any friends except for him? He loves me so much. Yeah, that was so cute when you were dating him. Now look at it.
Yeah.
And now, how am I supposed to fix that mess?
You can't.
I don't know, Kim.
How am I?
You can't do it, Kim.
I don't know.
You're only human.
Lay down the law and say this is where it's going to be. And then you're going to have a drunk man, you know, calling your work and ruin another job for you. Uh-huh. Take the kids and go live with your parents. And try to get some sort of stability for your family. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to tell people when they get in that kind of situation. I hate to just say, just divorce them. But sometimes that is the answer.
Maybe scare them more. A little scare.
But, I mean, when marry a bum and he keeps exhibiting bum behavior, and then you keep making babies with him, and
baby bum.
I don't know what to do. And I'm sorry if I'm coming across as cold-hearted. This morning, I'm sorry, but I just don't know what to do when women get themselves in this bad of a situation.
You're spitting facts.
And then expect me to come up with some miracle answer for you. Yeah. I don't have a miracle answer for this
love
one.
Love letters to Kelly.
Yeah. But I don't have a miracle answer like I did for the gropey guy.
Yeah. By the way, your gropey answer is coming up here after this letter right here.
You communicate with
love letters.
God knows.
Love letters to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
No, I'm not. I officially quit.
I'm a sophomore in high school, and I need your help.
Oh, this will be good.
And I have this good friend. Let's call him S. He's really nice, kind, has great eyes. We've been friends since eighth grade, but we haven't really gotten closer until this year. Ooh. I've been really wanting to let him know that I like him as more than a friend, but I don't want to lose the strong friendship we already have. I've gotten all kinds of advice from friends about what to do, with most of them saying, just go for it. I really don't know what to do. I could risk being embarrassed for a while, or I could be really happy with him. I know I'm only 16, but I really need this advice. Thanks, Kelly. That's from Cece.
Well, I'll tell you what I did. I went for it in high school.
Go for it, Cece.
I went for it. I embarrassed myself. Yeah. I humiliated myself. I did all that. I threw myself down on the floor. I love you so much. Uh-huh. Your smiles. Mark McClam, you love my life. All of them.
Why not?
It didn't work out with any of them. But you know what happened years later? You get a phone call.
What's
I kind of had a crush on you, Kelly. I'm like, well, a lot of good it does me now.
Yeah, I'm married.
So anyway, I just say go for it because, you know, 20 years from now, I know when you're in high school, everything seems really like this is the most monumental, biggest thing ever. And yeah, you're going to embarrass yourself 50 times over in high school. And then one day your life goes on and it didn't, you know, you took a shot.
People don't remember high school as much as you think they're going to remember.
They do. It's only 4 years of your life, but it's a very important, pivotal 4 years of your life, and it means everything when you're in it.
Of course.
But yeah, I'd go for it. That's my advice. Why not?
Don't leave high school with any regrets. Don't leave high school without telling a person you were into them a little bit. Don't leave high school without playing a sport you were interested in or doing theater or a chorus.
No, I don't have any regrets about that either. I did everything. I wore a heart on my sleeve, and it works out sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. Get out there and don't leave. No regrets.
No regrets.
But don't go marry it.
Love letters to Kelly.
Now, some advice for those gropey husbands out there.
Yeah, last week.
Captain Grope a lot.
2 weeks in a row, I was getting this stuff. So the woman writes and says her husband just won't stop groping her, and like to the point where it's annoying.
Yeah.
And that's causing her to distance herself from him physically in the house. She doesn't go near him because he's a gropey person.
She feels harassed in her own home.
And she said she'd already told him to please stop. She didn't like it, but he wouldn't. And see, that's my thing. If you communicate what you want and the person doesn't respect you, then what do? Right? Mm-hmm. So one person, I went on Instagram and said, just DM me because I need help on this one. One person said, you better enjoy it while he still notices. You better enjoy it because one day it's going to stop. That was not the overriding sentiment from the people who responded to me.
Okay.
And they were all women from what I can tell. I can't read all of them. But some people say, slap the out of him.
Ooh.
Tell her to scream help next time. I mean, one woman went so far as to say, that's assault. If you no means no, even in marriage.
Of course.
And it's assault.
Yep.
So, you know, what level do you want to take it? Is it assault? Other people said you just have to keep reemphasizing, yeah. Communicating, I am not enjoying this right now. You need to stop. And until one woman said it took her 10 years of marriage and it finally got better.
Oh, good. Wow. Yeah, you're not a toy. You're not an object.
But 10 years, you got put up with that. Man. But being firm in the communication, not hateful, but firm. Other people recommended groping back in the same manner that he gropes you to show him how much it's not pleasurable. Because sometimes it's a taste of their own medicine. Some people suggested doing it in front of other people to humiliate him. These are the answers I was getting.
Plus, if you have kids, you don't want your son. If you have a son, you don't want your son to see.
Exhibiting that behavior.
That's what you're supposed to do when you're married to your wife,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Agreed.
Because he should learn as a husband.
Groping back to show him how uncomfortable it is. Keep communicating that you don't like it. Or accuse him of sexual assault. Those were the...
Wow.
I mean, that
these are
the
from
three.
Women that went through it. Interesting.
Or not necessarily going through it, but their advice.
All right, there you go. If you have that going on, hopefully it gets a little bit better for you. And if you want to write our love expert, go to kidnation.com. We'll do it again on Monday. And yeah, that's Love Letters to Kelly. But right now it's time to get you to call in to play Beat the Bank.
It's free.
You know the password. All you need to do now is call us at 800-KID-LIVE.
800-543-3548.
800-5-GEEK-IT.
And we're looking for caller number 17. Are you going to pick the right vault and score $5,000? Well, let's find out next.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Beat the Bank.
Beat the Bank.
Extreme.
Beat the Bank.
Extreme.
Christmas shopping stress is a real thing. Win this cash. Start by eight. Beat the Bank.
Extreme.
Beat the Bank.
Extreme.
Saw a study on Pop Sugar that psychologists say that if you decorate early for Christmas, it proves that you will be happier.
Really?
I'm happy. Do you know what else
this
I did?
Psychologists?
It's in the mood.
I have a tutorial for Christmas smell. It consists of boiling water and dropping cinnamon sticks and cloves in it.
Whoa.
Tutorial complete.
All right.
Been boiling it.
Been boiling it.
All right.
I don't know why. I just got in the mood real quick.
But you're happier. Look at you.
I feel like a little nasty. I am. I'm very happy.
See? Yeah. Working. There's still that argument on my neighborhood page about people decorating too early. But look at psychologists say you're happier.
Isn't it fun to follow those little fights?
Oh, I love it.
My husband won't. I tell him he's missing out on all the entertainment.
The Nextdoor app.
Yes.
The best. Oh, it's just the best. Because it's people, and you see them out and about. It's great.
This one woman was so mad the other day because somebody flicked a cigarette butt out their window. Mm. She posted their license, that took a picture of the back of the car, license plate, everything.
I'm with her.
Chewed them out.
Uh-huh. You let them know.
There's a lot of lost dog controversy right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in your neighborhood?
Oh.
We might have to get into some of these neighborhood fights one day.
They've taken Kids Bop Karen and put her head through the door like Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
There's a ton of Kids Bop Karens out there with the Nextdoor app.
Yeah, get the Nextdoor app if you haven't. Hours of entertainment.
Hey, Lori.
Oh, my God. Hi.
How are you doing this morning?
I am awesome. How are you?
Doing great. What are you doing right now? You seem like you're dragged.
Yes, I just dropped off my kids at school, and I'm on my way to work.
Oh, and what do you do for work?
I work for an insurance company. I adjust auto claims.
Ooh,
auto claims.
Nice.
Important work.
Very important work.
Gotta do it.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the kids are already in school, so you're going to have to play this back to them later so they could hear Mama on the radio. But let's go ahead and step up to the vault.
Hello. Please enter your password.
Hello?
Hello. Please enter your password.
Netflix.
Password. Accepted.
I thought you were actually putting your pin in with the touch. With the phone.
That would be funny.
All right. Netflix is the correct password. Lori, congratulations. You now get to pick one of the many vaults we have left over. Which one would you like?
16.
Vault number 16.
Hey.
Okay, that's a good one right there.
Sweet 16. Yep.
Jinx. All right.
My son's age.
Aw. So maybe this will bring you some good luck. Here's Kelly to tell you how we play the game.
Yeah, you're going to be in the vault with the banker who's calling out dollar amounts that continue to go up, never backwards. And your job is to yell stop before the vault door closes. If that happens, you're going to lose everything. Now, the dollar amounts could go as high as $1,000. We had a $2,000 winner yesterday, even $5,000. But if you hear the word $1,000, that is as high as it's going to go, and you still need to yell stop.
Okay.
All right, Lori.
All right.
Well, let's win you some money. Let's play Beat the Bank Extreme.
70. 120. 250. 340. 400. 480. 510. 540. 590. 680. 730.
Stop!
Yes!
Casey agreed with you.
730. $730 for Lori.
$730, Lori. What are you going to do with that cash, girl?
Oh, my God. I'm going to start Christmas shopping for my kids early.
Yay!
Give them a shout-out right quick. What are your kids' names?
What are their names?
Miguel, Elizabeth, Eve, and Eli.
Oh, wow.
I like Miguel.
Yeah.
I knew it right there. Which one was the 16-year-old?
Miguel.
All right, buddy. Well, your birthday or your age won your mama $730. All right. I was with you on that. We're kindred spirits. I was stopping right there with you. But just for fun, let's see how much you would have gotten.
Okay.
Lori.
Go with your gut.
You did it.
Nailed it on the head.
Walked out a winner.
Wow.
You outplayed our banker.
Yay.
We're happy for you, Lori. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
No, thank you for listening. You hold on. We'll get you all set up with your $730. And Kid Nation, got another round headed your way in about 35 minutes. Brand new password. So forget Netflix. That's gone. We're going to have a new one for you.
All right.
35 minutes away, and then we'll have you call in and play shortly thereafter. But coming up next, make room for some good-looking dudes. No, not me and Big Al.
No.
These guys surpass us. They're in the new movie Midway. We got Ed Skrein from, you've seen him in Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was in Game of Thrones as well. And you also got Luke Plaintank, who is in The Man in the High Castle. And he's also done some Pretty Little Liars. So he's going to be in here as well. We'll get to know those guys and see how the movie is next.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
All right, people. Bad news, Al.
What's up?
I found these guys in the hallway.
Yeah.
They're better looking
than
us.
Much better looking than you, Al. Can we have them?
Terrible.
We dropped down to number 3 and number 4 on the best looking in the studio poll. But that's fine. They got a movie coming out this Friday. It's called Midway. We got Ed Skrein in here, and we got Luke Kleintank with us right now. What's up, guys?
What's up, dude?
What's up, man?
Just hanging out. Having a good time.
Mm-hmm. You're right there.
Are we the only interviewers that have offered you alcohol treats?
Yeah, actually, yeah, I think you're the first one.
There you go.
Thank you.
You guys are the best
one. You'll remember.
Luke, you took us up on it.
I did, yeah. No, it's nice. It's a little Halloween treat.
No, we found
treat.
That Ed doesn't like cider or champagne.
What do you do when you go pop bottles at the club?
I'm an old-fashioned guy.
Oh,
I like a good old-fashioned.
That's my husband's
I like red
drink.
Wine.
Yeah.
Just like it, trying to keep it classy, you know?
Yeah, I can tell you dressed all nice and everything.
Do we have any cabs over there?
I got red wine.
Okay, I'll do that.
Oh, damn. He's got everything. It's like
stuff.
A bar.
It's
see, Al's
stuff.
Ready no matter what
you're
kind
calling
of
me out on
girl.
That.
Yeah, he's ready to court
everything,
someone.
Everything Ed says, he's like, no, I don't drink that. Al's busting out whatever it is. Like, he's ready to go.
This is the good stuff. It was given to us by Jefferson Apartments.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Obviously, our show has a problem.
Yeah, we do.
See that.
Need to address that.
So, you guys, this is a pretty heavy movie because it's historical.
Yes, sir.
So, do you guys feel like you have to go back and take some classes and learn about World War II and the Midway and all that?
Yeah.
In all seriousness, or even lack of seriousness, when we were in school, you know, I can speak for Luke, we weren't the greatest students.
Terrible.
Right. You know, my history teacher will tell you that. It's a completely different story when you're making a movie like this. You become a number one student. You know, you become A+ at this stuff. So we really went deep into the research with all of the accounts and books and documentaries, or, you know, everything we could get our hands on. And we was kind of pooling all of our resources together. I think my history teacher would be proud of me now.
I bet. You played Lieutenant Dick Best.
Mm-hmm, yes, sir.
Now, how did you go about learning about Lieutenant Dick Best?
Well, there's a lot of information. There's a lot of accounts that have been written by other pilots, by other dive bombers that account, you know, pretty accurately and you know, closely the events and their kind of day-to-day living. Best didn't actually write an account, which is kind of telling of the man as well. But a lot of the accounts wrote about him.
Were you guys able to, because you played Lieutenant Clarence Dickinson, Luke.
Yeah.
Do you guys get to meet some of their family members or anybody? Was there anybody that could come in and go, this is how he walked, this is how he talked?
No, not for me. I wish I could have. I tried to find him. I scoured Facebook, all the social media outlets. I even went to the VA to see if I could get some information, and they said, hell no, we can't give you any information. That's confidential.
But did you tell them I'm playing a character?
Yeah,
in the movie?
They didn't care. They were like,
you didn't tell them your own bones.
You know, actually, I don't think they didn't believe me. They probably thought I was lying.
Did you tell them Woody Harrell's in and Manny Moore's in the movie and everything? Like, they throw it out there. Ed's trying today.
Get out of here.
I didn't have a chance to meet them. But, you know, my character wrote a book called The Flying Guns.
Yeah.
And he wrote it 6 months after the battle. So for me, that was everything. It was his recount of everything. So that was that was his voice. For me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when you guys watch, because you guys get to watch the movie for the first time, basically with an audience, because there's green screens and you guys are supposed to be acting like you're flying and there's missiles being launched and all that. When you first saw the movie, what was your reaction?
Man, it was crazy. I mean, what was so beautiful and fitting and kind of poignant and romantic about the first time that we saw the movie, it was in Pearl Harbor. We went back to Pearl Harbor. We went back to Ford Island. We screened it for the servicemen and women over there. You know, we were introduced by the Admiral of the Pacific Fleet. The Navy band played the Star Spangled Banner. And I was like, wow. You know, so it was an emotional premiere and screening. It meant so much to show it to them first and foremost. at the end, they all stood up and clapped, and I wanted to cry my eyes out. I was like, keep it together, Ed. Keep it together.
Because it's a big deal for these people. I mean, some of them lived through it. Some of them are close to it.
I mean, it's like, first and foremost, it's a relief, you know, because we couldn't show our face. I couldn't come back into the country. I think my work visa would be reviewed, and you know, they'd turn me back and send me back to London every time I came if we didn't do this respectfully and properly, you know.
But you can tell.
You know, we showed it for the Department of Defense in Washington the second time. So that was another intense experience. Beautiful. We actually had a midway vet there, 101 years old, and we had the most incredible men. We got to meet the Mumford Point Marines, which was the first Black Marines allowed in 1942. They weren't even allowed to train with their white counterparts.
Wow.
They had to train separately. They literally had to fight. To fight. And when we talk about patriotism against, you know, the as it should be, you know, as opposed to, like, you know, the bigotry and everything that they were received with, that's a beautiful thing. So it was super beautiful to be there and screen it for them. But my point going back to it was, like, the second time you see the movie, you start to understand a bit more of what it is as a movie, how people are going to understand it. I usually see the movies like 3 times. And then I leave it for like a year and a half.
Right.
And then, like, if I see a movie or if I'm on a plane or something, I say, you know what, let me watch that and see how I feel now. And sometimes I watch it and go, I'm never going to watch that ever again. I wish I hadn't seen that. And sometimes you're like, okay.
What is one of those movies that if you see on TV, you have to watch every time? Because we all have that. What's your favorite go-to movie?
I mean, Grease is one of my
favorite movies. With John Travolta?
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, not number 2. Come on.
Well, you know, I don't know, man. Some people are into the
Matthew Caulfield and Michelle Pfeiffer.
I can't even recall Grease 2.
Grease 2 is awesome. Mm. It really is underrated.
Yeah.
But I like Grease 2.
Like, if I see any Adam Sandler movie, like Waterboy or Happy Gilmore, I get stuck.
Happy Madison. Come on.
And I've watched them like 100 times, but I'll keep watching them.
What Pulp about Fiction's you, Luke? One of my
Billy Madison. I said Happy Madison. I'm thinking Happy Gilmore. Billy Madison. Yeah. I'm going to go a little more serious. Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's
love
deep.
That movie.
Yeah. That is a good
one. You know
movie.
What? When I was watching that in the movie theater, the power went off halfway through, and they finally let us go, and I never went back and finished it.
Oh.
I don't know how that would end.
Yeah.
Spoil it. Or The Matrix, man, because that was...
That's exciting. Old. They're coming out with another one, too.
I cannot wait. Keanu Reeves, I love that.
I think they're still casting.
Yeah, why don't you guys throw your names out there?
Yeah, we should.
This was it.
We just threw their names in the bucket. So if you guys want to hire Luke or Ed, they're willing, I think.
I do want to ask, because I loved Midway, by the way. I'll be honest, I'm not huge on, like, history. It was probably my worst subject growing up. Mm-hmm. But this movie was so entertaining from start to finish. But ever since I saw it, every single time I chew gum, I think about you in that movie, because you were chewing so much gum every single time, but with so much confidence. Did you get sick of that? Or do you still...
Chewing gum with confidence. How do you chew gum unconfident?
I don't know, but you...
But it's like,
it comes with
so
confidence.
Cool.
Like, you know what you're doing. You're,
you know what?
Okay, yeah.
Watch, look at me, Ed. This is how you chew it without confidence.
Yeah, you're very insecure.
I'm very insecure about chewing.
Yeah, I was actually chewing gum the whole time, too. You just never know.
Oh, my God. That was your actor's choice. That was your choice as an actor.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I thought it was a beautiful touch that Roland added. He added it quite late in the pre-production process. It was something that wasn't in the script when I initially read it.
Yeah.
The chewing gum and the picture of my wife and daughter in the movie played by Mandy Moore. That was just nice little character touches, you know. However, the reality of chewing that much gum every day was kind of gross. I would always have to break out a new one, chuck it in my mouth. I'm chewing it, and then, you know, they say cut. I'd spit it out, put it into the foil. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we had to move so fast that, like, the props guy would come up and just put his hand out.
I was going to say,
like, put it in my hand. I'd be like, bro, no, my mum raised me. I can't do this. And he'd be like, come on, quickly. And then we'd have to do it, and I'd have to just kind of...
Right. Dude, I went to a fancy restaurant one time, and I was chewing gum, and the maitre d' or whoever it was, he held out his bare hand so that I could put my gum in his hand, because gum chewing was not allowed.
I tell him, really? Don't worry, I'll just put it under the table. I got it. It's going to be fine. Yeah. Everything's cool.
What did y'all dress up for for Halloween?
Last year we were shooting Midway when
you
was
dress
in Montreal, and this guy had the best costume of all.
The Mad Hatter.
Luke was mad with makeup and everything. And
yeah, man. But the thing is we were going out to dinner, and they said, oh, we're going to go out for Halloween. And I was like, all right. And they were waiting in the lobby, and I come down. They're not dressed.
You're that guy.
He's got hats
Mad Hatter.
Yeah, he
looked great. We go to the restaurant and nobody's dressed, just me. I look like a complete idiot.
Yep. Yeah, he had the benefit of the costume and makeup department, so I bet you were just like killing it.
I looked a little crazy, but it was fun though.
Nobody else dressed up?
Yeah, no, I was
we went out for dinner, but I just tricked him and said, yeah, come down at 7 in the lobby or whatever. But then we went for dinner, we came back, and actually, if you remember, there was a scene in Midway where they had a baseball game when Nimitz, Woody Harrelson's character, arrives and they all turn around. So I said to the costume department, get me the whole, 1930s baseball outfit. So that was my look for Halloween. It was a little bit more tame and conservative.
Yeah, mine was
awesome. But he looked great, man. Yeah. He looked awesome.
Now, speaking of costumes, I don't know if it was a prosthetic or if this was real, but Nick Jonas's mustache, if he called you guys up and said, hey, guys, I'm thinking about rocking the Midway mustache in real life, would you be a go for it or a no? No.
Man, you shouldn't be phoning me up for other people's style. I know what works for me, but I'm staying out of that one.
Yeah, and as a big Nick Jonas fan, how did you feel about the mustache?
You know, I'd go watch that movie again just for the mustache.
Okay. Yeah. You can do no wrong in your
eyes.
I feel like he looked right with the mustache. He looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought he did a great job. I really thought his character, you know, who's a real character, Bruno Guido, some incredible stuff, all that stuff where he shoots down the plane, that really happened in real life. The scene afterwards where Halsey says to him, you know, that's the bravest thing I've ever seen in my life. All of that dialogue is directly taken verbatim from accounts. So this is unbelievable. It looks like Hollywood, but this is real stuff.
When you get to play, because I know both of y'all have a great, you know, film career, but when you get to play really kind of badass roles like that, does it make you think about how soft our generation has become? When you go, because you're going like hundreds of years back in time, you're playing these badasses. Mm.
Yeah, of course. Every day, every day I take off like all of my stuff, and
you're like, I'm sore.
And then they take off like their hair and makeup, and I put on like my tracksuit or whatever, and I'm like, oh man, I'm a shell of a man. Like,
man, I need a pedicure.
That's funny.
Well, I do love that it is an entertaining movie, like you said, for people who aren't as familiar with history. But I think it's so important because we're all walking around today enjoying so many freedoms because of the sacrifices that were made. And some kids are walking around, they can't understand. They were willing to die for the freedoms we have. So I think it's an important movie to see, especially with young people.
Mm. It really is. And we're in a generation now that we can actually create this and make this movie available for kids, as opposed to being in history class that you weren't good at, or I wasn't too good at, or Ed, you know?
Yeah.
They can see
it's real.
It. They're not reading a book or looking at old black and white pictures. You know, you can't really get the same kind of feeling from that. So, and especially in this generation, all they want is the social media. They want the videos, all that stuff.
That's how we get our history now, which is fascinating. It kind of feels like pressure for y'all.
Twitter and Instagram, that hooks me up every day.
I think it's so important that we remember the past. We look back, like you say, we see the sacrifices and the bravery of these men, you know, and you know, the women as well.
Now, when you come over here to the States, Ed, do some words trip you up because our English is a little bit different than the British English?
I mean, yeah, it's different, but you know, we have been raised seeing so much American movies, American music, that it's not really alien to us in that regard. There's not so many surprises. Why, are you going to surprise me?
No, I'm not, man. I just found out I was British because of my 23andMe DNA results came back.
Yeah, me too.
You know what's crazy?
I'm actually more British than he is.
What?
Really?
Boom. Tell him. Yeah, what's up now?
What percentage?
I'm like, I'm no joke, like 78, 84%,
what?
And then Irish.
Yeah.
Wow.
And what are you?
I'm like 38% British or something. I couldn't believe it.
Mate, that's what I am, bro. Yeah.
You guys could be brothers.
I'm 38. Now, Ed, you also have a music career. And I don't know if you... Are you still getting in the studio here and there?
No, not at all, man.
Bro, you are good.
Well, we were checking it out before you came.
Do you remember the lyrics to all the songs you've done?
Nah, but I used to have this crazy like memory when I was you know, doing it. I haven't done it for like almost 10 years now, but I used to have a real crazy memory. I was known for that. I had all of my lyrics down. I used to have all of these weird techniques for learning them, where I'd swap the rhyme words around and I would just drill. I was kind of a psychopath about that, in the same way I'm a bit psychotic about my preparation and research
for acting
now. So, yeah.
It must be like a foreign language. If you don't keep using it, you lose it, right?
Like a muscle.
Sort of like that.
Yeah.
I still got it.
You still got it.
that's also a man.
Oh, by the way, Luke was a... Didn't you get a feature in Cosmo?
I did, yeah.
I saw that because I read it.
You have to keep up for the show.
My wife, research.
Yeah, and it talks about there's some sexy time topics in that magazine that teaches.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh damn.
Yeah. I that's how I learned about a lot of stuff.
Is that where you learned the DJ?
No, I created that one. Don't ask me. I'll tell you off air what the DJ is, guys, if you really want to know. But it's a move. Definitely a move.
Well, right.
That made it awkward enough right there. These guys got to get going.
Tinder?
Yes.
I think we're going to end it with the DJ. Make sure you check out Midway Hits Theater this Friday. Again, Luke and Ed, thank you so much, guys, for coming out here.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
Give it up for Luke and Ed, everybody.
Thank you, guys. All right.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Just give it, you gotta give it a minute out.
It's the first day out.
You gotta give it a minute.
There are slow days.
Download it next door, the app, and I, just to see what's going on in my hood.
Oh, they're man, trust.
First, I had to put my address in. Does it give everybody address? Just out of curiosity.
Well, you can.
You can block it so they can't see it.
So they can see it?
I'm not sure. I would have to look at your profile. Okay. I don't think they can see mine.
Okay.
But for the most part, your neighbors know you, you know? They know who you are and where you live.
Yeah.
And there's always that one guy in the next door app that's they'll poke. So when they see people arguing, they just keep poking to create a bigger firestorm.
Yeah.
Those guys are necessary for the next door app. So you might need to be that guy.
Start the instigator.
The instigator, yeah.
Oh, man. All right.
Debbie, how are you doing?
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah. Am I going to play?
Yeah, you're playing.
If you want.
You want to play?
Oh,
we can
oh
go.
My God.
Hold on, Debbie. Hold on.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to move on to the next.
We could go on to the next call.
Oh, no.
Debbie, hi. What are you up to right now, Debbie?
I just took my Halloween decorations down.
Oh, you did? For you.
Now,
how long are you going to wait until you put the Christmas decorations up?
It depends on my day off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so no fall decorations then, huh? No Thanksgiving?
No, but hopefully this weekend on Sunday, I'll put the other ones up.
Okay.
The Christmas ones.
Yeah, a little bit earlier. I just talked about
and that depends on the rain.
Just tickled to death.
Debbie got the giggles today. I like that. All right, well, Debbie.
I'm so nervous. I can't believe this. I'm so nervous.
Don't be nervous. You'll be just fine, and we want to get you enough money so you can buy all the decorations you want to make your house look all lit up, okay?
I need a new house soon. Most decorations I have.
Yeah, you do.
I love when we get giggly people on the phone.
You make me laugh.
Yeah, I like you a lot, Debbie. All right, Debbie, let's go ahead and step up to the vault.
Hello. Please enter your password.
Watch.
Password accepted.
I see.
Yes.
I just want to laugh with Debbie. You know?
I know.
All right, Debbie, here is Jenna to tell you how we play the game.
Oh, Debbie, you make us feel good today. So hopefully we can get you some money. Hop in that vault, and then the banker's going to start shouting out some increasing dollar amounts. We have no idea. We have no idea when that vault door is going to shut on you, though. So just feel it out. And shout stop really loudly so we can hear you when you think it's about as high as it's going to go. And if you hear anything that ends in 1,000, it could be 1,000, 2,000, 5,000. That's the last number, so make sure to yell stop.
You got it, Debbie?
Okay.
All right, Debbie. Yes. Now, we do have to pick a vault, so which one would you like to pick?
11, please.
Vault number 11?
11.
Okay, that was set to go. All right, here we go. You know the rules already. Let's try to win some money, Debbie. It's time to play Beat the Bank Extreme.
70, 190, 220, 270, 370, 400, 530, 570. 650.
Stop. That's all I need. That's all I need.
You know what you need.
This is not something to win. I needed it. That's all I need.
All right.
That's all she needs.
That's all she needs. That's all she needs, everybody.
I don't care if it's the next one, $5,000. That's all I need. I'm good.
Oh, what see, that was exactly $650.
Sweet. Thank you all so much. Oh, my God.
Sweet. Bye. No.
No, you hold on.
Girl, what are you going to do with it?
What are you going to do with the money?
I really needed it to put in a bank and cover some things I already spent. I'm back on track now.
I got $650 worth of checks out.
That's a good lesson.
John.
I still don't know what happened.
Practical.
I'll tell you what happened. You got $650. That's yours to keep, Debbie, just for fun. This is all you need. Let's see how high it would have gone.
$780.
Ooh.
Let's find out.
We're finding out.
Hey!
Debbie, nice.
Wow.
That's all
not bad. Not bad.
Not bad at all, Debbie. You played awesome right there.
I'm putting that on a t-shirt. That's all I need.
Yeah. Make sure you split.
That's right. Just go for what you need. The rest will come.
Uh-huh.
All right, Debbie.
Debbie, thank you for being a nice little bright light today on this cloudy day that we have.
Yes, y'all have a fabulous day on my day off. Yay!
Hold on, Debbie. I wish we could have you on the show
I know.
All
my cheeks
long.
Hurt. She made me smile
she
so
made
hard.
Me smile and laugh. I love that.
That's the kind of people you want in your life right there. People like Debbie. And Debbie just walked away with $650. We got more money, Kid Nation. 7, 10, and 8, 10 Central is when we hook you up with those passwords. So join us tomorrow morning. And coming up next, our girl Anna, she needs to catch you up with what's been happening this week. It's time for our midweek update. You'll hear it next.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Kid Nation, if you missed our interview with the stars of Midway, Ed Skrein and Luke Klangtank, it'll be up at KidNation.com. But we did find an answer to one of the questions I asked during the interview.
What's that?
About the Nick Jonas mustache.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't really want to answer because they didn't want to speak on another man's style, which is totally fine. But Priyanka Chopra did speak about Nick's mustache from the movie. Here's what she had to say about that.
She liked it. Her father had one. And so it was sort of like she was into it. And then I said, I'm taking this off the minute I rap. And then she was like, you know what? I realize I don't like this as much as I thought I did.
So according to Nick, she did not like it. So there we go. Now we have an answer to that question.
All right.
Compliments of Ms. Chopra via Nick Jonas.
Just because you get used to looking at something doesn't mean you like it.
Right, exactly.
You just get used to it.
Yeah. You know? Is there something right now you want to say about Alan?
No. Oh, okay, cool. Because, you know, I don't like it when he gets his, when he trims his beard so close. I don't like it.
You like a little more full.
I like a little bit more fullness to it. But he gets to the point where he starts twirling it and chewing on it.
That's too much. Yeah.
I don't like it was that length of the year. There's that happy medium.
Food gets stuck in there and smell like what you ate. All right, well, right now it is time for the midweek update with Anna. So let's get to that.
I love the intro with Nick Jonas.
Of course. I have to do some Nick Jonas before we get to Anna, of course.
Thank you. Okay, so we're all very excited about these big-time celebrities joining Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday we talked about Matthew McConaughey and how he joined and how his Insta bio was pickle expert.
Uh-huh.
So then later in the day when I went to actually follow him, I noticed that he changed it. And it says, like, husband, father, actor. Pickle expert, you know, pretty cool. But then I was thinking, I was like, wow, I wonder what my first Instagram bio said. And you can actually go back and find it.
Really?
Yeah. So if you go to your Instagram and you go to settings, security, access, data, it has everything. You can see all of your bios, all the times you changed your password, the date that you joined, everything.
Wow.
So if you're in the mood to like cringe a little bit,
okay,
you can go and check that out.
I think I've changed mine twice.
Yeah, I remember mine.
Yeah, I didn't remember mine because I joined. So it even says that I joined Instagram December 7th, 2012 at 4:45 p.m. Like, it has all the data. Okay, and I thought I was really funny in high school because I was in high school at the time, and my first bio said, LOL, Stanley Yelnats, LOL. Because backwards, that's LOL, Stanley Yelnats, LOL. From the movie Holes.
Yes.
Like, who did I think I was? Like, that's so lame.
Was Shia LaBeouf in that movie?
Yeah. But if you want to go back and check your Insta bio, that's
okay.
Yeah, pretty cringy.
All right.
In my
I might have to do that.
Yeah, it's weird. Okay, so in a new interview for British Vogue, Emma Watson said that she's happy to be single, which is great, and she likes to say that she's self-partnered, which is awesome. I love that. I love that kind of energy that we're doing now. We're just adding self in front of everything.
Right.
Self-partnered, self-made billionaire.
Yeah, self-made.
You know, everything is self. So, ladies, next time someone says, you know, there's plenty of fish in the sea. Just say you're being selfish.
Okay.
I like what you did there.
You see? Okay. I'm my own fish.
I'm self.
Self-fish.
Got it.
And speaking of self-love and things that begin with cell, Selena Gomez. She is
nice tie-in.
So she has the number one song right now on the music charts, Lose You to Love Me.
Yes, she does.
And I repeat, do not drink a bottle of wine and listen to Lose You to Love Me by Selena Gomez. I'm not speaking from experience, but I am when I say that pairing Cabernet with Selena Gomez's song will make you feel some intense feelings.
What were you feeling, Anna?
I'm not even going through a breakup, but I suddenly I hope so. I don't know why. I was really in my feelings thinking about all of my, like, I have one ex, and I was like, oh my God, what if I'm going through this breakup again? It was weird. It was beyond.
Wow.
Yeah. So the joke here is me. Honestly.
Yeah.
Did you see that guy that mashed up? He mashed up her song and Justin's Sorry.
Low Key Fire.
Did you want to hear it a little bit?
I'd love to, because I saw it, but I haven't heard it yet.
It actually is pretty good. So good.
Yeah.
I like it.
I actually really like that.
I do too.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yesterday I just watched Christmas movies and cried listening to Selena Gomez.
And drank a bottle of Cabernet.
Yeah. So there's that. Okay. And finally, so yesterday on Twitter, everybody was talking about like the new Charlie's Angels movie.
Yeah.
But they were saying like, if you could cast the three Charlie's Angels, who would you cast? And for me, I mean, that's really obvious. Kelly. Of course. Jenna.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Okay.
And part-time Justin.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Obvious. Duh. Yeah.
But do I have to be the smart one?
Do you not want to be the smart one?
I want to be the hot one.
Being smart is sexy,
I'll
Kelly.
I'll be the smart one. You can be the hot one.
Thank you. I don't want to be Sabrina.
Okay. I'd rather be smart than
Nobody
hot.
Had a poster of Sabrina on their bedroom.
Looks fade.
Nobody.
Looks fade, but
I
that brain.
I
want
to be on the wall.
I'll be the one with the big brain.
Go ahead. I want to be the one with my boobies hanging out.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.